Welcome to the Source Refresh Small Business Supply Chain Podcast. I'm your host, Chandrika Venkatraman. Join me as I talk to small businesses from across the world to learn about their supply chains, their support systems, and what keeps them moving. My guest today is Zach Harper, co-founder of Funky Mellow. Funky Mellow is billed the feel-good marshmallow, a marshmallow that's created with cleaner ingredients. We talk about procurement, inventory management, and self-manufacturing. Welcome to the Source Refresh podcast. We are so excited to have you today. You have a fascinating product called Funky Mellow, and we just want to hear everything about it. What is your product? Share with us your startup story.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here too. So my wife and I started Funky Mellow. We created the world's first and currently only plant-based refrigerated marshmallow cream. Our product is completely gluten-free because we are gluten-free ourselves. It's also top 8 allergen-free. And just in general, it's really versatile too. You know, this product can be used as a coffee creamer replacement, all the way to a fruit dip or pancake waffle topping. And then my favorite, just eating it as a light snack.
That's super wide, right, in terms of the use case. So tell us a little bit more about, you know, where we can find you and how did you start on this journey? Like what gave you the idea? Where did you start testing it out? And how did you know this was a product that had a market?
Sure. Yeah, great question. So let me start with how we started this product. So my wife and I, we connected early on through nostalgia and specifically s'mores. We realized as our diets were changing that we couldn't handle the non-traditional, you know, non-vegan s'mores out there too. But then we noticed that the vegan s'mores were full with soy and things like that too. And it just wasn't really as clean as we wanted it to be. So we got to work on a few different things. We actually started off early on a different product than what we do today. We started off with Rice Krispie Treats. We made really fun Rice Krispie Treats in different flavors, like strawberry champagne, things that you haven't seen before. Did a lot of farmers market opportunities, and that was a lot of fun for us. Then we went to marshmallows, which we learned a lot from marshmallows. It's actually really hard to manufacture them and get them to scale. And then we finally landed on marshmallow cream. Marshmallow cream was always cool for us because we thought we both love marshmallow fluff, but it could be a little bit more unique and a little bit better. So we made it a little bit thicker than when you find, you know, traditional marshmallow fluff. And we think the thickness actually gives it more versatility too, because you can use it in different ways as well. So overall, I would say that journey took us about 3.5 years to get to where we are today. And currently you can find us in Whole Foods locally in the Austin area. You can find us in Sprouts. I believe they're in their A and B stores, which is about 15 different states, mostly in California. And then we're in a few mom and pop stores around the nation too. It's all in our store locator, but we're always going to be in the refrigerated section because we are a refrigerated product. It's strange, marshmallow in the refrigerator, but trust me, it works. And we're right next to like cookie dough and yogurt. We're right in between there. That's where we live.
So this, right, by your own admission, right, you're in the refrigerated section. This is not the standard placement. So that sounds like you guys actually introduced a new category.
We did.
That's a super big deal from a retail perspective. You know, the immediate questions, again, as somebody that lived retail in the past, the immediate question that comes to mind for me is, so how do your merchandisers figure out where to place you? How do you guys manage to, you know, present to them analytics and performance benchmarking? Like, who is the competition? Like, how did you even approach that part?
You know, refrigerated products sounded really fun to us. And, you know, our stuff naturally separates. So we always wanted to put it in the fridge because we wanted to look really well on the shelf. Another thing, too, as far as how do they place us? We make the suggestion to them that, you know, it can go by cookie dough because it goes really well. It's a nice pairing with it. Lately, some of our retailers are putting us next to fruit as well as where the cookie dough is too. And that's pretty cool because now we're in two different places and we're literally watching the customers choose for the different ways they want to use our cream. I think that speaks to the versatility of our product too, because you can use it in different ways. So it gives our merchandisers and our grocery team the flexibility to put it in different places, and ultimately just help them also help us too. So it's been it's been exciting. We didn't even realize we were on this journey until right now too, but we realized that it's we got something good over here.
So in terms of the traditional category, right, your benchmark is at this point really cookie dough? Are you really comparing yourselves to that?
You know, we're technically in the dairy section. We do a lot of business with the dairy buyer. But as far as who they compare us to, the best case they can compare us to is Cool Whip. But it's very hard for a lot of them because Cool Whip is still a little bit different than us. And that's if we're in that section. If we're in the fruit dip section, there is nobody to compare us to, or the fruit area, because it's just kind of us and hummus. But a lot of them don't even really want to compare us to hummus because we are so unique too. So we are, I believe, making our own metrics right now as we speak.
That's an interesting point. Now, you know, if you would walk us through your product supply chain, you know, talking about your ingredient to finished product, like the whole life cycle. I do believe you guys are manufacturing in-house, right? So just walk us through that. Like, where do you source your raws, your packaging? How do you, like, what's your manufacturing setup like? Very curious to learn about that.
So we mostly do business with major distributors for all of our goods. I will say that lucky for us, we keep simple ingredients. By simple ingredients, I mean with our vanilla, we only have 6 different ingredients on there too. So it helps us with our supply chain as well, because we don't have to track a ton of ingredients out there. What we've done though is we've tried to negotiate for future gains with our current suppliers right now. You know, we're only buying the smallest amounts of tapioca syrup from one of our suppliers right now, but we'll tell them in the very near future, you know, summer of next year, when we have this client that comes on board, we're going to buy 3 times that. So can you give us a break now if we can basically guarantee that we're going to buy that in the future? And then they've been really receptive to that. So we've kind of used that strategy with our different ingredient groups out there, and it's worked for us really well.
Awesome. And, you know, for packaging, I guess a similar approach, because I don't know necessarily that the packaging distributors will really be moved by the same sort of logic.
Yeah. So packaging is very unique for us because we get our packaging completely overseas. We get it overseas. My wife took a long time to research where to get the proper packaging from. And we get a very large amount of sleeves for cheaper than anything we can find in the entire world. And I'm happy to share that group too. It's a group that I can't believe that it still works out for us in that way. I believe it's called FX Packaging, and they are based in Pakistan. So that is who we use for our sleeves right now.
Oh, that's amazing. So how do you though manage with your warehousing and all of that? Like, if you're getting like an enormous shipment, how do you account for that?
We also use a program called Fiddle. Fiddle's been great for us too. This is an early emerging brand. It's helped us kind of look at our metrics, keep track of everything too. It notices that when we're using stuff in each production run, we need to reorder at certain percentages. So we're never really in jeopardy of being under the ingredients that we need for the next month, just so to speak. So it's been, I would say that system's been life-saving for us as an early brand. So that is where Fiddle plays a role for us too. And the beautiful thing about Fiddle that I didn't realize when we first got this application is that you can put small batches on there. It's a little time consuming, it's a little difficult, but you can definitely use it for small batches. And this same system can be applied when we have larger runs too. They're a really beautiful platform for managing all of your creations. It does look at your ingredients to account for, and then you won't miss when you need new ingredients after you've done a batch. So I can't speak enough about Fiddle, because like I said, that's really saved our business, I feel like, to this day.
Got it. So with Marshmallow, I can only imagine that in terms of manufacturing it, the equipment and all of that, there must be like sanitation, cleaning. Like I can just imagine that it's a pain. What exactly do you guys do? Like how do you manage all of that?
It's interesting. Cleaning is not as bad as one would think. You just have to know how to clean properly. You know, we have a few different, we don't use any chemicals in anything that we do too. So we use different heating methods just to get the stickiness out of there. And specifically hot water to get things out of there. You just have to know, you know, when to time things and put it on correctly so you can keep your production going. We've been doing this, like I said, for over a year now as far as like heavy productions. So I think we've got everything down on when to time it, when to heat things up, when to clean things a proper way so we can keep our production lines going. And we're not using heavy duty equipment yet. We're actually going to transition over to that hopefully next year, though. Right now, you know, we're upping our capacity too, because the demand is still going up for us too.
So that's a beautiful segue into the next question that I had for you. You know, you are our first guest that actually is managing their own manufacturing operations. So how did you make your make versus buy decision, which is what it's called in the procurement world, right? How did you decide that, you know, you have to invest in the equipment and you have to make it in-house versus selecting a co-packer?
That's a great question. So we actually did a lot of research on looking for a co-packer early on. I don't think a lot of people realized how much research we truly put into it. And we called everyone from potential co-packers who make jam all the way to people that make peanut butter, just anywhere, you know, that we thought of a cream. What we found, though, is that far and wide, a lot of people don't want to mess with marshmallows because they are sticky. They are cumbersome. If they did manufacture marshmallows at one point, they don't want to do it again because it was not a good experience for anybody, too. So that left us with really little to no option as far as how can we continue to mass produce this. We're lucky and very fortunate that the machines and the parts that we need are not too unaffordable, and they can replicate our process really well. So it took some time to find those machine parts, but I'm so happy to say that we have found them. And so that's why we're kind of putting the final touches on everything and hopefully get that over to us in our facility soon.
So your experience with capital purchases, any big aha moments, anything you know, again, one of the things I find is a lot of the small business owners that I speak to don't really put procurement and capital purchases together. Yeah. So how did you guys do it? Did you use any procurement specialists? Did you do it all by yourselves? Just share with me.
We did everything ourselves. We did a lot of late nights, I will be honest with you. And, you know, I think because we had limited options on how to make our recipe replicated, it kind of minimized really the machine parts that we could use, so to speak. So it didn't really make it too daunting of a task when we were looking at what can we replicate? How can we make this work very well? So that was all on us. Lucky for us, too, we talked to some people that have been in this industry for a while, too. So some of our mentors helped us kind of walk through on the proper things to look for and the proper, you know, questions to ask before we make any big purchase or things like that. So I think, you know, our ingenuity and our patience, along with our mentors, kind of got us to this point.
Great. So on your journey, is there anything that you would do differently if you were starting over?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things I would do differently. One of them is, you know, you don't always, number of doors doesn't mean an equate to success. You know, sometimes you can take your patience and take your time on getting to those number of doors. I think a lot of people look at certain partners as the overall goal, and that's the mission. And also, once you land on a retail shelf, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the final journey. Actually, the journey is getting started, because that's when the hard work starts to begin. You need to make sure that you're selling in a high rate for the buyer, too, who's giving you a chance to get onto their shelf, too. So as far as things to do different, just kind of taking the time to assess that and realizing, you know, what you have in front of you, and not getting too far ahead of yourself, too. I think there's sometimes in this journey, too, where we've got to look too far ahead of ourselves, and we need to kind of dial it down a little bit and refocus our efforts on the intricate things that are happening right in front of us right now.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you so much, Zach. This has been a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks.
Wish you all the very best in your journey.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can get more information on today's episode in the show notes or at source-refresh.com/podcast. To hear more episodes, please subscribe to the Source Refresh Small Business Supply Chain Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts from.